Coming up on Bear Podcast, we had a party. We celebrated our 500th episode at Dave's. Year of the Horse. Scotland legalizes marriage equality, and a man who got buried with his motorcycle. Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast, 504.
Hey, all you bears!
He stands in the bump in the big hairy man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to some scrub there fixing for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute,
white. Has two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray. This is episode 504.
Yes, and it's Tuesday, February 4th, 2014.
Yes. Which means you got 10 days to Valentine's, people. 10 days.
Valentine's.
Next Friday.
That's right. I haven't thought about it yet because I haven't planned anything with Mike yet. Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay, I have to send him a card or flowers, maybe. Maybe. Okay, so it's been a crazy week.
It's been a very crazy week.
It's been a crazy week for us. We're actually celebrated last Friday. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So last Friday, we were at the party for the 500th episode. Thanks to Dave, we had a party at this place. And there was so much food, lots of food. I brought egg rolls and noodles. What did you bring?
Barbecue. That's right. We had ribs, barbecue, and what all else did we have? We had, crap, my mind just went blank.
Oh, we had the
gumbo.
We had gumbo.
Rice, the egg rolls you made.
And the noodles that
I made.
And you got these cheeses on the plate. That's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And
there's some green beans. Mm-hmm. That was kind of coleslaw.
Oh, so. Yeah. Joe made coleslaw. And Dave also made a cake for us. It'll come up very soon.
I don't think Dave actually made that cake. I think Dave paid somebody to make it.
Yeah, so. That's right. Thanks, Dave.
But we do appreciate it, Dave.
We do appreciate it. Oh, there's the cake. Yeah, it's a 500 episode cake. You didn't even use the old background that we used.
I know. That background. So.
Yeah, this background. So, yeah, thanks again, Dave. So, we had a party at Dave's, and there were about 30 people who came. At least 30 people who came. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to shout out to Joe. He came all the way from Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Or Alabama.
Know. Alabama.
He came from Alabama. And he flew in and just attended the party. And we had a couple of friends, mostly from Houston. And that was fun.
It was a good crowd.
Okay. One of the first audio that I played was episode 60. Because we kind of got together in the living room and tried to reminisce things that happened throughout the 8 years that we've been doing this. This podcast started in August 2005. So, I don't know what date it was, but I was still podcasting with Roy Excalibur, who's in Dallas right now. He was my co-host back then. And it was episode 60 that I had a kind of a problem with Sirius Satellite Radio back then, and also with Bear 411 in that episode. That is when Ray emailed me. I have to look for that email. That he actually contacted me. So he wants to listen. You wanted to listen to episode 60 to hear what happened to me.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much our gateway that Ray and I got,
Yeah, I regret every day sending that email.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he regrets
it. See what I got myself into.
Mm-hmm. And now, ever since Ray's been really co-hosting. So yeah, it's been good since then. Okay, so also, we also played some videos.
Yeah.
We had some videos.
The streaking video.
Also, the good one that everybody had a good laugh when Julio...
demonstrated how to use the female condom.
Yes.
So
that was funny.
That was pretty funny. Everybody's laughing about that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that was good. And then the streaking video, our friend Young, when we were podcasting during a 4th of July at Guy and Carl's.
Yeah, that was, 3 years ago?
Yeah, I guess it was three years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he ran away. He ran
He did the streak. Bugada, bugada. Uh-huh. And if anybody can tell me where that song's from, you're older than I am.
Really? Okay, what happened upstairs?
Well, allegedly, what happened was somebody went up there and took a big old dump in Dave's upstairs bathroom and clogged that bitch up.
Clogged up.
It was clogged up into the rim. And Dave doesn't have a plunger.
We know how to go to get for...
Now we know how to get Dave for a great thing. But it was kind of funny. I went up there and was like, Dave, do you have a plunger? He said, what do I need a plunger for? I said, somebody's blowing up your bathroom, man.
Oh, my God. So, you know, the theory was that somebody took a dump and tried to flush, of course, and got clogged it up. So he ran away.
Yeah. So who's the first one to leave the party?
I don't know. Who's the first one that left the party? I don't
know. You know who you are.
Yeah, you know.
So
that's so funny.
But I was kind of laughing at myself. And no, it was not me. Mm-hmm. I just happened to go upstairs because the downstairs bathroom was occupied. And I went upstairs to go use the upstairs bathroom. And it was clogged up. So I ended up having to go to Dave's room and use the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
So
the love bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad I didn't have a black light in that bedroom.
So. Oh, black light would reveal a lot of things. Yes, so. Okay. So something you missed also last Sunday was actually Super Bowl.
What? What's Super Bowl?
You don't know what Super Bowl is?
I don't know what Super Bowl is.
The gay Super Bowl is the Oscars. It's coming up soon.
Okay.
But no, this is the sports Super Bowl. And Ray got to miss it, but he didn't come. What did you do? You just watched Fringe all day?
I sit and watch Fringe all day. I finished up season 2 of Fringe. So now I'm on to season 3.
Gosh.
So I can get caught up with it. But I've heard about that damn Coke commercial from the Super Bowl ever since then. And I finally got to see it Monday after all the bitching on Facebook. I think it's a great commercial.
I think it's a good commercial too.
I think they had gay dads in there. That America's made up of a whole bunch of different race and ethnicities. The only natives here are the Native Americans. And you see how we treated them. So, you know, and I think the American anthem can be sung in any language it wants to be. And it's still just as beautiful. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And and just so you know, a lesbian wrote that song. So.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
So okay. I think it's people overreacting. So
yeah. So at Super Bowl, the Super Bowl, we did enjoy.
So speaking of streakers, how was it going?
How was you? They had a good party. Great party. A Super Bowl party.
Anybody get naked?
No, he didn't run around naked. There were kids. You can't have. There were a few kids.
There were people naked Friday night. I'm not saying who.
Yep, there were some.
Well, there are
happy
pictures
baby. Of happy baby.
That's right. Happy baby. There was a lot of teabagging going on. That's
yes, there was lots of teabagging. Lots of...
And I didn't participate. Oh. But he did.
I just went to the
hot tub. Just fell in the hot tub. Naked. Magically.
One of my favorites there was, you know, it's like twerking, but with balls. Oh. I love that. I really like that. Somebody was twerking, but with his balls. Anyway, so it was fun. But that was Friday.
Yeah, why didn't you put that picture up of the hot tub?
We don't have pictures. Hey, this is the only pictures we have. We don't have pictures.
Yes,
of the hot
we got
tub.
A picture. Here, let me forward it to you.
God, gross. The water lost a lot of water.
Yeah, when everybody got in, it was like that much water in the bottom of it. I thought it was funny. So
yeah, it was almost empty. But anyway, okay. So let's talk about Super Bowl. So Super Bowl, about 50 people came to Jan's party. It was a lot of fun. Lots of bears in the whole place And they even rented chairs. It was that many. And I've never seen so many wings in one place. That was another food.
We got barbecue wings. We got Parmesan wings.
Parmesan wings. Garlic
we got
wings.
Got hot and spicy wings. Yeah. We got Asian Zing wings.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. And kind of like different varieties.
So wings.
Yeah, congratulations to the Seahawks. They won 43-8 against the Broncos. And congratulations to my friend Mark because he won $95 from the pool. It's pretty cool. It's different from the squares. You don't buy squares. But what happened was he would say, there's a piece of paper. Write your name. Write your who's going to win. What's the spread? He put 20. He put Seahawks 20. I put Seahawks 7 because I was thinking
it'd be close. Yeah.
It'd be so close that only a touchdown would save them. So, yeah, I thought that's what's going to happen. I always like close games like that. But then that's what happened. He won. There's a 20 point lead. So more than 20 points lead. So congratulations to Mark. He won
the pool. Yeah, my favorite quote about the Super Bowl was somebody was talking on the radio and they said, after the Super Bowl was over with, security went and surrounded the Seahawks.
Why?
Well, to protect them from people going crazy and stuff. But they were going to take them all out to get the trophy and everything. Mm-hmm. So, but the funny thing was, all the security guards were dressed in orange, and that's the only people dressed in orange that stopped the Seahawks all night long with security.
Because
the Broncos couldn't do it.
Oh.
It sounded much better when you said it.
What you did there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. Let's move on to our topics and yet Super Bowl. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Young and Paul, for a great party. Okay, let's move on to our topics actually right now. Really quick, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. we were talking about this during dinner right now, tonight. My friend Matt was telling me about a friend of his online who actually came out to his parents. He's 19 years old, and he came out to his parents, and it did not go well. So, what do you think of that? I mean,
it's not always going to be roses and petals, and that's something when you come out, you have to decide. You know, am I ready? It's one of those things you got to look at. If I go tell my family this, am I going to be kicked out? Am I going to be disowned? How am I going to be treated from this point? You know. I know everybody wishes it was like a TV movie where they're all loved and everybody's like, oh, I knew it didn't matter, ha, 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 which happens. Mm-hmm. But in this kid's case, unfortunately, it didn't. And hopefully, things will come around. I mean, I know a lot of parents, it's a big shock at first and everything, which in this day and age, it shouldn't be, but it is. And it also depends on where this kid is. You know, if he's out in a rural area, yeah, it's probably going to be worse mm-hmm. than being in a city. And sometimes even being in the city, you know, people around that, it makes a big deal. So it's tough, and I hope he goes and tries to find some support wherever he is to get help. So
yeah, that's why I kind of passed through Mark, my friend. I told him that maybe call the local PFLAG or the local Pride Parade Commissioner or whatever, or I'm sure every city, like I said, every city has a Pride Parade, and maybe they have a gay and lesbian group that probably can help him for either counseling or... Yeah.
Well, most cities either have a gay and lesbian switchboard, counseling center, mm-hmm. or some kind of place where you can go and find help. And there's also PFLAG. Mm-hmm. So
I was thinking you do that, and, you know, it's not the end of the world. You have so many friends. You have so much support. And you have so many people who want to help you.
Yeah.
Us included, if we can. So... One of the things that I kind of try, you know, if somebody contemplates on coming out, there are three things that I want to happen first. First, you should practice. How do you practice? You come out to somebody who you don't know that you would really care and see how it reacts and how would you feel. Because it kind of helps. It kind of helps you if you come out gradually to yourself and to other people. Like I always say, come out to a cashier. If you're buying a condom, saying, oh, nice, you're going to have fun tonight. The cashier might be joking. No, yeah, it's for me and my boyfriend, because we, you know, he used Magnum, so
yeah,
he will do that. So
They wish.
And then you have a good laugh maybe, and then you go out. It would be awkward for the cashier lady or cashier guy, but at least... You got it out and see how you react to your practice. And then the next step would be coming out to your friends. Mm-hmm. One friend at a time or maybe a group. And it helps a lot. It helped me a lot. That's what I did. Yeah. I came out one friend at a time. It was very emotional for me.
I remember the day last year when you came out to me. It was very emotional for me too.
When I came out to you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. But... Anyway, okay, so, so I came out to friends. Don't get me wrong, I was crying and everything. I was really a softy then. So by the time I reached my parents, my family, coming out to them, it's a little easier for me. It was a little easier for me because I had practice.
But the also thing you got to look at, too, is you're in your rumors. and you can support yourself. Mm-hmm. Some younger people have to always look at it this way. Think about when you're coming out. What if it goes horribly wrong? Hopefully it won't, but if it goes horribly wrong and your parents kick you out, are you going to be able to support yourself? Or are you in school? You know, it's good to come out of the closet and feel all that free weight, but it's even better if they pay your way through, if they're helping you at college and you're doing all that stuff and you just keep your mouth shut until it's all said and done and you can support yourself.
But do you think that's a good idea, though? You would be lying to yourself, don't you think?
Well, I would rather lie to myself and have a college degree and be able to get a job and support myself when they abandon, when my family walks away from me or if it goes bad. I'm not depending on them to support me. And I don't know too many 19-year-olds out there that are supporting themselves. So I would say think about that, because I know some people have told their parents and they packed their bag up and kicked them out the door and never looked back.
Yeah. It is sad. It's really case-to-case basis, I would imagine. It would be a shock for this case, for this case that we were talking about. It could have been just really a 1 week ordeal. Maybe they just wanted to get it out of their system, and then later on they're going to be accepting anyway.
Yeah,
maybe that's the case.
Maybe there's other conversations you can have with your parents to bring up. Say like, "Hey, I found out that one of my friends is gay," and talk to them about how they would handle it. And if they say, "Oh, just leave him, don't do anything with him," and blah blah blah, then you know they're kind of against homosexuality. So you can find ways to do this without exposing yourself and putting yourself out there. And I hardly believe everybody should come out and do what they got to do, but you also got to look at the realistic things that you got to eat, sleep, and survive when you're that young. And if you're out and you support yourself and everything, and if you come out to your parents and stuff goes bad, then at least you still can support yourself. Mm-hmm. Take care of you, because that's the most important thing, is taking care of yourself. So
yeah, or if you have a lot of supportive friends, that's good too.
Yeah. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's another way to come out too, you know. You say it gradually too, like, "By the way, Mom and Dad, I want to tell you something. I'm a member of a gay chorus. But guess what? Mom, I'm a tenor." Right? So you can do it that way too.
Yeah, I guess
so. Okay, so, let's move on to
our next little topic. Okay, Maynard, this one, I have a question for you.
Why me? It's because it's Asian.
It's Asian, yeah.
It's up to me.
Chinese New Year. BBC subtitle blunder reads, "Welcome to the year of the whores." So Asians, tell me, why y'all all being hoes this year? I don't remember that being on the Zodiac.
What?
Oh.
What, are they serious about this?
Yeah, Friday saw the start of the Chinese New Year with this being the year of the horse.
A horse!
Unfortunately, the BBC News subtitle system didn't understand the memo quite right, and instead declared this the year of the whores, much to the embarrassment of the channel. Welcome to the year of the whores. People around the globe celebrate, which I thought was kind of funny, because, you know, I noticed most Asian people, they kind of whores anyhow. Read the subtitles. Notice the blunder. A number of eagle-eyed viewers were able to quickly grab the screenshot and post it on Twitter.
Oh, so, God.
And this isn't the first time that BBC subtitles have had somewhat of a malfunction. The Archbishop of Canterbury is referred to as the Archbitch of Canterbury, which is probably pretty true.
Archbitch of Canterbury.
And while during the coverage of the Queen Mother's funeral, there was a call for a moment of violence.
Oh, so, God. The moment's violence.
Yeah, so.
That's really sad. But I like that. Welcome to the year of the whores.
So, Asians, Timmy and Sim, why is this the year of the whore?
The year of the whores.
Because I know a lot of y'all are. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. And our next little topic. Did you watch the video?
I did watch the video.
Things get very hands-on in a men's bathroom with new Fractal Design app. We're going to post this app. I mean, we're going to post the link on the website so you can go watch the video. But the ad comes from Newegg, which promises the info on the latest in computer and hardware to snazzy consumer electronics and even video game overviews. Good job, guys. We'll see you at the sausage party.
Yes.
But this is very homoerotic bathroom. Gay stuff and humor, and it's just hilarious. I noticed this ad didn't play during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can't play this on the Super Bowl.
So, but watch the video; it's very funny. Let us know what you think about it. So,
okay, let's move on to some movies and entertainment. So, The Walking Dead. I want to read this because this is Walking Dead. I love Walking Dead. Okay, The Walking Dead. Norman Reedus promises our best 8 episodes yet. So So all the survivors in The Walking Dead are in a bad place after being forced to flee the prison as a result of the failed assault by the governor. Not only have they lost their home and their moral center guy, which is Herschel, but they have lost each other as well in the process of a hasty evacuation. However, fan favorite Daryl Dixon also has another bombshell to process. The fresh knowledge that Rick exiled his friend Carol from the group after she killed two infected inmates in the hopes of containing the disease will be the aftermath of the discovery play out when the show returns on February 9th. It's going to be next week. I'm excited about that.
No, it's this Sunday.
Next Sunday?
This coming Sunday.
That's right. Today's the 4th.
Yeah. 5 days. Walking Dead to come back.
Well, I'm going to watch it next week because I will wait for it on my DVR.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I'm excited about it. This part is kind of near the comic book because it was the governor who came in and destroyed everything, but then the governor died and everything.
But what happened to the baby?
What happened to the baby? I really think he got eaten. You think so?
I don't know. Babies are expensive actors. I don't know. Then I just said, oh, we got to pull a budget on this. No more babies.
No more babies.
But if you follow the comic book, the baby was never born. It died in utero.
Oh, no. The baby was born, but died with the mom.
Oh, that's right. She just had the baby and she died. Yeah, so. Okay,
so.
It's been a while since I read that comic. That was a year or so ago.
A long time ago. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Looking forward to it. But the part that they all got scattered, that's what happened. Yeah. In the comic book, everyone got scattered. Yeah. So
there's another article on Michonne talking about she's got her two more dead walkers with the jaw cut off.
Oh, she did again?
Yeah. So,
just to protect herself?
And they show a picture of her walking with the two of them behind her, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Now for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Here's something heartwarming for people in Scotland. This just came in today. So, Scotland legalizes marriage equality. Yes. So, you know, those Highlanders, the gay Highlanders.
Yeah.
Would it be nice if there's a Highlander, a gay clan member?
There was. I think they did a gay... I want to say there's a female.
A female? Okay.
One of the ones that were female. I don't know. That's a long time since I saw the Highlander series. Yeah.
Okay, Scotland's first same-sex marriage is set to take place later this year. The Scottish Parliament, on Tuesday, voted to pass the Marriage and Civil Partnership in Scotland bill by a margin of 105 to 18. Oh, God, there's a lot of people who wanted it. So, with the first union set to be conducted in the autumn. Very British. Autumn.
Oh, no, they're not British. They're Scottish.
They're Scottish. It's autumn. I believe this bill will have a hugely positive impact on our society and on the health and well-being of LGBT of people in our country. So, MSP Jim Eady said during the debate, Scotland now has one of the most progressive equal marriage bills in the world, allowing the option of gender-neutral marriage ceremonies will provide genuine equality for all, including transgendered people. So this is exciting. I mean, is England right now...
you get married. It was passed in the Commonwealth.
So. How about Ireland? No.
It's very Catholic. I don't know. Ireland's part of the Commonwealth, it's part of England, so yes.
It should be. Yeah. Okay.
I think, I don't forget how Scotland separates itself from England, but I think it's part of the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember how all that works. That's a lot, that's history from a long, long time ago, so.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, Highlanders. Highlanders.
Maybe they'll address it on Downton Abbey.
Yeah, they may have something like that. Okay, from Highlanders to Indians. What do you say, Ray?
That's right. Okay. Now we're talking about American Indians here. Yes. And I'm going to read part of this article, and we're going to post the link so you can, because it's a very in-depth article, but I thought it was very interesting because I hadn't heard of any gay Indians since Big Eden.
Yes. We're talking about Big Eden. I love Big Eden.
Yeah. If you don't know Big Eden, it's a movie. It's about this Indian guy that falls in love with this other guy, and it's just mayhem ensued.
And the Indian guy would cook and everything and do everything for the guy, but the guy doesn't know. It's like, oh, it's just a sweet, it's a great, lovely, nice, movie, so. Lovely gay story.
Big Eden. Watch it if you haven't ever seen it. So. Let's see. Looking for Love in Wide Open Spaces, the dating dilemma of the gay Navajo. In New York's West Village neighborhood, gay men can find hookups and occasionally romance just a few feet away at bustling gay bars and social networks, smartphone apps like Grindr. The same holds true for countless gay-friendly districts across urban America, from San Francisco and Atlanta to even Houston.
Wow, they even mentioned Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when a smartphone successfully picks up a signal and connects to gay apps in much of the heavily rural Navajo Nation, the nearest user can be more than 100 miles away. The same distance factor is true for gay bars, none of which exist on the sprawling desert territory that is home to some 170,000 people, covering a land area larger than several eastern U.S. states. What can be the cornerstones of gay life for some people in other parts of America are still foreign to the Navajo gay people, some who may never lived off the reservation. In fact, some gay people in the Navajo Nation say they are more able to find long-lasting romantic partnerships by the more old-fashioned method of being introduced by family and friends, as their parents and grandparents did. So there's a hookup. Oh, I got a gay cousin. I got a gay aunt.
No. That's how they hook up?
Well, that's how they meet.
Wait. They meet in family reunions?
Well, no. But like family had go to stuff and people and everything. And they're like, oh, here. The way we used to do it in the old days. So basically.
Okay.
It's obviously easy to meet someone on Grindr, but it's disgusting.
What? No.
Because there, people just show photos, but that's not appealing to me, said Jimmy, a Navajo professional in his late 20s who wanted to use a false name because he's still grappling with his family acceptance of his sexuality. Jimmy went to school off the reservation in a city where gay apps are more prevalent, but the concept of meeting prospective partner online was not for him. I would like that human connection, he said. Well, usually most apps, people are looking for human connection, but it's not to be partners, it's for sex. So.
You should try Craigslist.
Yeah, so... It's not just the lack of high-tech access that shapes gay life among the Navajo. For gay people, the sparsely populated rural childhood home of some 27-year-old Navajo gay marriage advocate, Olleray Nelson, the nearest gay bar is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, about a four-hour drive away.
Wow!
So you're 4 hours from your nearest gay bar. So.
Make it a weekend then. Wow.
So Nelson met his partner of 3 years, Brennan, through friends for a lack of a better option at the largest Native American nation in the United States, he said. Brennan and I met each other through friends. I asked him after he said hello if he wanted to go to dinner. Nelson said at the end of their first date, home-style food chain Cracker Barrel. Well, gay's going to Cracker Barrel.
Gay's going to Cracker Barrel. Nice.
It's home-cooked food, and I want it to be somewhere a little dim, Nelson said. Mm-hmm. Nelson and his boyfriend remember rather vividly their first physical interaction. Yanni rested his head on Nelson's shoulder at the carnival in the Woodrow Rock Navajo Tribal Fair. A large annual to-do.
Aww.
Oh my God, such a cliche, Jan said. A month later, the two young men kissed.
Aww.
So it's dating in the old days before apps where you could just go hook up and have sex and then go home and go to bed.
That's right.
So anything, it goes on to talk about they're in the middle of nowhere. They're Native Americans. You know, they get shunned by their own families. There's nothing close by and how they meet and how they deal with it.
So are they really shunned? Or
I think it's just like the kid that came out and his parents... You know, yeah, not taking it well. I mean, some of them probably take it incredibly well, and some of them, you know, don't care. Mm-hmm. And all the Fantasy Wolf series, all the Indians that open up homosexuality because they're all gay when they turn into a wolf. And their mates are all men. But I know that's not realistic.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Taylor Lautner hadn't come to me and become my Indian werewolf lover. So, So anyway, it's a long, in-depth article, and I say read it. Like I said, the links are going to be on the website. On the page, and you can do some more in-depth research on it. But I just thought it was very interesting because I never thought about, you know, you got a whole nation of people that's separate from everything else in America sit on this large landmass, and some of them, they don't ever leave the reservation. Everything happens there for them. And
yeah.
So.
It's kind of hard.
And they're in a big old desert, so.
That's when they actually leave that place and actually meet other people. Okay, let's go with the geek ray. So, 10 things Facebook changed in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So we kind of have to, it's a long article, so we might just go to the through the bullet points on this one. Okay. So, 10 years ago, Tuesday, wow, today, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 years ago today, Mark Zuckerberg launched the Facebook from his Harvard dorm. Since then, the site has gone on to redefine our lives online. Yet more than a billion members later, it's hard to imagine whether it's if the world's largest social network disappeared tomorrow, the lives of most people would change much. It would change much, if at all. So one of the things here is Facebook took the toil out of stalking. Yes! It's easier to stalk people
now.
That's
right. Prior to Facebook, ex-friends and lovers had to work hard in order to reinsert themselves into the lives of their unsuspecting prey. Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's so easy. Have you been accused of that? When you're looking at somebody's picture and then you would start liking? And say, are you stalking me? So
no.
No, you didn't do that.
No, I've had enough Facebook drama for a while.
Oh, so. Okay. Next is Facebook made botched IPOs cool. So what does this mean? Featuring a bungled rollout matched only by healthcare.gov. Of course, you have to mention that. Facebook $104 billion IPO is the third biggest in IPO history. Well,
so when they went public, it was a big mess.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of expected. Okay, next is Facebook made us okay with the NSA.
That's right, because they share all your stuff.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, because Facebook encourages you to share everything. So, share everything. Okay, Facebook kerfuffled our love lives. Do you think so?
Yes, because you can obsess over everything your significant other, wannabe significant other posts. And bitch and moan about it and all that kind of thing. So
that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So next is Facebook welcomed us to the new age of underemployment. So what does it say here? Facebook isn't the only high-income underemploying company in the U.S. these days, but it's one we patronize daily, and it's one of the most ubiquitous. It's pretty much a standard now. Like,
well, based on what they do, they have a low employee rate versus the amount of money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, that's right. Anyway, I'm really impressed with their company, though. Yeah. So Facebook built the virtual town square of the 21st century. Yes, you just put a page,
yeah,
and you're good to go. People would like it, and
something can go viral in like 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, back when the riots were happening overseas and people were posting the videos on Facebook and YouTube. I mean, stuff was coming up, and people were. I mean, this information was just going everywhere. So, it, you know, once it's on Facebook, it's out there.
Yep, it's out
there. Even if it happens in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Facebook saved us from the internet. In what way? Cyberspace offers endless resources for email, instant messaging, sharing our personal news, photos, or locations, and catching up on curated news. But why go out when the ever-expanding Facebook hegemony, is that right? Hegemony, offers all that, as well as friends, in one convenient location. Yeah, just like AOL.
Like AOL, that's how you put that out. So basically, Facebook's become the new AOL.
Yes, because you can do searches there, too. You can, in the top.
Yeah. And
top
they keep adding stuff like messages and video. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of.
You can do so many things in that search bar now. You can stalk people that way, too. Okay, Facebook changed the way we grieve. Yeah, you just...
Yeah. As a new company, originally limited to college students, only slightly younger than its founders, Facebook didn't launch with a plan around what to do when customers die. Once membership hit a critical mass, and the users inevitably did too, survivors were confronted with their abandoned profiles and eerie Facebook reminders of their now deceased friend. Eventually, loved ones were allowed to memorialize profiles, but many take comfort in posting messages. They are regularly addressing the deceased on their living virtual shrine. So it's become a virtual shrine, which I know because, like, on Carlos, the day that Carlos died, which is New Year's Eve, I went and posted about him on Facebook. So, and linked him into it so it shows on his Facebook profile.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, yes. Mm-hmm. Facebook aided in disaster relief. When an earthquake decimated Haiti's capital in 2012, a spontaneous rescue center arose on Facebook, with users posting Haiti-related updates at a rate of 1,500 per minute. Facebook now serves as a valuable platform for rescue agencies following disasters. Last week, snowed out Atlanta, a Facebook group that has attracted more than 46,000 members in 24 hours. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty. Yeah, it really helps, but. Also, when disaster happened in the Philippines, when we had the Typhoon Yolanda, same thing with Facebook. And and people were donating and everything, and yeah, it's just amazing. It's just amazing how Facebook is used for that. And lastly, Facebook stole hours and hours of our lives that we'll never ever get back. So yes, actually, there were times that I would spend an hour on Facebook, but since with the iPhone apps, you can do it now. I mean, you can do your
Usually people like, don't you work? I said yes. So she said, well, I see you on Facebook all the time. I said no. The actual time I'm only on Facebook is when I'm on break, lunch, or in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So,
or in the toilet, the commode.
Well, that's what I'm saying, in the bathroom.
Yeah.
If I'm in my other office, then I'm probably on Facebook seeing what's going on.
Yeah, I'm...
That's why you see those posts around 10 and 3.
Oh, that's right. Okay, there's a trick about this, though, that you will be offline, but you're offline, but you're really online. Don't use the Facebook app. What I do, it's been months. I've been doing this for months. I took out the Facebook app. And then on your phone, I access the website version. So if you do that, you don't eat up battery. So you can do it on your phone too. So there's a mobile version which looks almost exactly as the application. But with the application, it pings, gets it always contacts the server. Yeah. It gives you notifications. All those things eat a lot of battery.
Yeah.
But if you use the mobile app, on your Safari or on your Chrome, on your mobile phone, then just access m.facebook.com, be mobile, then log in that way, and you'll have the same experience. And you can post pictures too, you can comment, you can like, the same things you've been doing with the regular app, but it doesn't contact the server every time. So it kind of helps.
Yeah.
So that's how I use Facebook. I've been doing this for months, and it helps with the battery.
Helps with the battery a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now on to the bazaar.
This is a short one, right?
Yep. Ohio man's wish fulfilled as he is buried on a motorcycle. The dying wish of an Ohio motorcycle aficionado that he be buried astride his beloved Harley Davidson was fulfilled by his family, although it wasn't easy. Bill Stanley's body was prepped by 5 embalmers with a metal back brace and straps, the Dayton Daily News reported. He was affixed on top of his bike, a 1967 electric glider cruiser, which was then placed inside a plexiglass casket. For 5 years, the box stayed in Stanley's garage. One of his sons told the newspaper Stanley also had to buy additional burial plots that could accommodate the casket. His family told the paper he planned the funeral for years. Stanley died of lung cancer suddenly at the age of 82.
Oh, I guess he can.
So he planned all this out and had everything pre-done, and he was ready to go.
Yeah. I saw the picture. Yeah, you're posting it. He was actually in his wearing his helmet, propped up, and holding the the handlebars of the motorcycle. It's really propped up and being buried. It's kind of bizarre, but that's the only way you can.
Yeah
that's why they had a lot of braces around the body, I guess.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird. That's kind of bizarre. Okay, so before
you know, they say you can't take it with you, but apparently he can take his Harley with him.
Probably. Well, not really. It would be creepy, though, you know, when you exhume the body, because 10 years you have to exhume.
What?
It would be just as, it would look like...
Why would you have to exhume the body?
I don't know. Maybe keep the, sell the plot. I don't know. But
why would you sell the plot? Yeah, pretty much. Unless they come and want to put a shopping center in, then they'll dig those bitches up, move them somewhere else, further out.
So it'll be poltergeist all over.
Yeah, poltergeist all over.
Or, it'd be all skeleton. It would look like Ghost Rider.
Well, the casket, I'm sure, is sealed. Once they put him in there, they probably sealed it. So once the air gets used up in there, he's probably not going to age anymore, and he's probably embalmed. So he's probably just going to be a little dried up, husk-looking.
Oh, really?
But... if they did everything right, I mean, there shouldn't be that much deterioration to the body.
Yeah, but if you look at it, it would look like Ghost Rider. He's on a motorcycle.
Well, hopefully they won't have to ever dig him up again.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so before we end the show, we're going to do some shout-outs. I would like to do a shout-out to Jason. He came to the party. He's our listener for some time. He went to Austin for a while, mm-hmm. right? And then he visited us. He came to see us, and at the party at Dave, so thank you, Jason, for visiting us. And it's a pleasure to see you. Maybe we could, hang out. He's trying to hang out around the Woodlands area. So.
Yeah.
And also, thanks again to Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Thanks for...
And thanks for your boyfriend helping cook and do all that work, too.
That's right. I saw him shred those pork. He was making pulled pork.
Oh, okay. Pork,
yeah, for sandwiches. It's a lot of food. So, anything else? Yeah, that's about it.
That's it.
It's coming week. What are you planning this week?
Hopefully a relaxing week.
Last
week, it needs to be relaxing, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. And leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show. Because nobody ever calls us, literally.
Oh, yeah, there were callers last year.
There ain't been no callers this year.
No, there were callers a couple weeks ago.
I think that was before the 500. But we need callers every week.
Yeah, it's really nice to have
so callers. Let us know what's going on.
Yeah, Jason, your neck of the woods.
Yeah, give some calls. You know,
okay.
Sitting around, driving down the road, you can call the number and say, "Hey, Ray and Art, I'm driving on the way home from work, and I listen to the show, and you know that damn Walking Dead and whatever." So
yeah, stop spoiling it for us.
Yeah,
you can do that too. Also, subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube, and you can catch the show on Stitcher Radio, Roku Player, and also on the Bear Radio Network. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening, and we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.